342-0911 or just visit us online, comfortair.biz.
Buena Vista Investment Management of Wisconsin Rapids understands today's global markets and brings small-town values and creative investment solutions to your financial portfolio. With active financial managers and great customer service, Buena Vista Investment Management is here to see that your financial well-being is here for many years to come. Give them a call today at 422-0700. Buena Vista Investment Management, 241 3rd Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
This afternoon, we'll be seeing our skies partly sunny. We could have a lingering rain shower with northwest winds 10 to 20, and our temperatures will be nearing 50 degrees. Tonight, cloudy skies with isolated showers developing. West winds diminishing to 5 to 10 as our lows drop back into the mid-30s. Saturday, skies will be mostly cloudy with scattered showers, southwest winds in mid-40s. From the WeatherEye Weather Center, powered by weatherology.com, I'm meteorologist Greg Tatro.
It's a good day to be inside with off and on light rain. It's 44 in Wausau, 43 in Marshfield, 44 in Stevens Point, and 45 here at AM 1320 in Wisconsin Rapids.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine, presented by Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Riverview Hospital in Wisconsin Rapids. It's time for part two. Once again, here's Carl Hilke.
Thank you, Jerry, and welcome back to today's show on AM 1320, as well as on the web at WFHR.com. It's time for another edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. Remember, Buena Vista Investment Management, your local investment professionals, can be found at 715-422-0700. With that, we welcome Professor Bry, and our topic today, government instability, or as we call it, the nuts in Washington. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning.
Okay. Well, you picked a timely topic. I mean, everybody was on pins and needles wondering if the U.S. was going to default on its debt and what that would mean in terms not just of our economy, but international economics. And then they pull through and do what they usually do, kick the can down the road. It's going to be challenging for the investment world.
Well, I would say that the emotions that people go through in this process, as much as you in your heart of hearts think that, you know, there's no way they're going to not increase the debt ceiling and put the entire world economy at potential risk. You know, one of the things I say about, you know, the advent of modern media and so many different stations and all focusing in on particular topics, you know, the average person gets such an overkill of information that, you know, at some point when everybody is talking, you turn on the radio, you turn on TV, you turn on your internet, and it's mm-hmm. the topic du jour, it gets a little easy to kind of freak out.
Yeah, very much so. And so we're talking about how government instability affects markets. Let's talk first off about confidence. How does this affect, I mean, I guess when you got all these different stories and everything else, confidence can go out the window.
You know, confidence is such an important part of the whole economic situation because with it, a lot of things work and work very well. Without it, if you go back and look over history in almost all the financial crises we've gone to, or have gone or suffered through, you know, the key constant was lack of confidence. And so as you hear and about all these different things and that the world is ending, you know, it's as evidenced by the consumer confidence number, that the last one that came out, it was the lowest it had been in a several long period of time. And it's what that translates into is that if you and I aren't very confident on what's going on and things like that, we're less likely to make extraordinary expenditures. You could become a little more conservative. Mm-hmm. Let's wait and see what happens. And so the confidence from a consumer level obviously impairs the economy, the consumer spending, retail spending, that type of thing. So then take it up to the next level. And we've talked about several times, I think, over the last couple of years, is, you know, we look at businesses and CEOs and their decision of how they apply their assets and mm-hmm. and things. And again, in this particular case, I think what you've seen is that the confidence from many corporations, as you saw an outpouring of Howard Schultz from Starbucks and, you know, to name one, and several, mm-hmm. you know, visibly come out and campaign and, hey, we need, you know, we need status quo. We need a government that works and things like that. But in the meantime, you know, the confidence of, all right, we don't know what's going to go. You know, we saw in particular corporations that aerospace, for example,
right?
Defense, government shut down.
Sure.
We can't do that. Lockheed decides to announce they're furloughing 2,400 people. United Technology, 4,000 people. I mean, those are real people with who have done nothing other than go to work hard,
right.
And all of a sudden they're out and things like that. Which then their workers to the right and the workers to the left go, wow, you know, am I the next guy? And so,
right.
you know, you look at that, and then, you know, on the world economy. And, you know, we'll maybe get into this a little more, but with the world's looking to us, and we pride ourselves on being the best, the greatest,
stable.
You know, the stable, and you're looking at us acting like a third world country, and, you know, we're the reserve currency of choice, you know, they're going, well, you know, maybe I need to start diversifying where I'm doing business, where I'm, you know, working with and look at the alternatives. And again, all that is collateral damage that, you know, when they're sitting in their chairs in Washington and figuring out how they're going to mastermind this, it'd be interesting to know, you know, the depth of their analysis and what all this really means, because, you know, 16 days, the government was shut down.
And it impairs the functioning of the market, because the market relies on information and a bunch of vital information. For instance, yesterday, Wisconsin should have been issuing or getting its unemployment figures. That wasn't available because of the federal government shutdown. So important information that the people use in the market.
Right.
Isn't available.
Exactly correct. And so the byproduct of that is obviously people are less apt to go out and do business. So, I mean, if you look at things like in October, we didn't get the employment jobs gains on mm-hmm. a national basis. All right. All right, so we don't know how many more people were employed. Well, if you then think about it, one of the Federal Reserve's criteria in deciding what they're going to do on directing monetary policy is what's going on with the unemployment rate, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you not only do you have, in this particular case, you're going to miss 2 weeks of data, but and the fact is that data that when they are, a lot of this is going to be released, may not be released to, you know, another 2 weeks or a month. And then because of, you know, no one's there for 16 days and information's coming in every day, the backlog and that, you would probably guess that there's going to be, as we look into the future, a lot of adjustments on that particular data. So, with that, then ultimately goes into whether you're in the commodity market or you're in the stock market or the bond market, is that I would guess that We will have an increase in the volatility of the market because the market will adjust to information as it comes in. And if that information is continue to be adjusted over the next 2 or 3 months, you know, obviously you have the market's expectations will be adjusted.
Okay, so the pricing and everything, the numbers of the market or what the how it functions is greatly affected by the lack of information.
Right, and it goes deeper than the average guy. I mean, you know, there's an agency that kind of determines the ongoing price of lumber, and another one that gives information on meat, pork, and cattle, and things like that.
Gasoline.
So, gasoline, and all those pretty much staple things. I mean, it's not right. Like, all right, well, we won't eat meat for 16 days. But if I'm, you know, if I have my herd and I'm not sure where it is, I've got to, and I have the financial capability to rest this out, you know, do I kind of wait till I get some stable numbers and I'm getting the best price possible, which then means there's a shortage of that particular item, and if you have shortages, prices go up. So, you know, this is really an intricate web that I don't know how it doesn't affect almost everyone, not only in our country, but maybe the world.
Yeah, we've gotten a good lesson, I think, if nothing else out of this, that and government and business and markets are all kind of, like you said, woven together. It's part of the system. And when one part of the system doesn't function, it causes a lot of headaches and a lot of problems for a lot of people.
Oh, absolutely. And that, again, has been one of the things we've seen. You know, predominantly, I think everyone that's got some kind of investments in the stock market has seen when things go bad, whether it was 2000 to 2002 or 2008 and 9, it was all the markets. I mean, there wasn't any safe havens. And so, being in the position where we are, when things tend to be disastrous here, it has a tremendous side effect on everything else.
And we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk about how, when things are getting crazy here, how it scares people around the world. You're listening to Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry here on The Morning Magazine. Remember, their phone number, 715-422-0700. Back with more right after this.
Buena Vista Investment Management of Wisconsin Rapids understands today's global markets and brings small-town values and creative investment solutions to your financial portfolio. With active financial managers and great customer service, Buena Vista Investment Management is here to see that your financial well-being is here for many years to come. Give them a call today at 422-0700. Buena Vista Investment Management, 241 3rd Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
Exciting high school football action is coming your way right here, featuring the Lincoln Red Raiders and the Assumption Royals. Catch all the live action of high school football on this radio station, proudly brought to you by TJ's Auto Collision Center, Riverview Medical Center, Solaris, Bullseye Credit Union, Nash Law Group, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing, Paper City Savings, Ministry Healthcare, River Cities Bank, 8th Street Auto, Wisconsin River Orthopedics, Wood Trust Bank, The Trading Post, Marshfield Clinic, and Ruby Reds. The Lincoln High School Red Raiders wrap up their season taking on Fond du Lac. Catch all the action starting at 6:45 right here on AM 1320 WFHR.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
This afternoon we'll be seeing our skies partly sunny. We could have a lingering rain shower with northwest winds 10 to 20, and our temperatures will be nearing 50 degrees. Tonight, cloudy skies with isolated showers developing, west winds diminishing to 5 to 10 as our lows drop back into the mid-30s. Saturday, skies will be mostly cloudy with scattered showers, southwest winds in mid-40s. From the WeatherEye Weather Center, powered by weatherology.com, I'm meteorologist Greg Tatro.
Off and on light rain and 45 degrees here at AM 1320. Welcome back to Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. We're talking about government instability and what it does to the markets. We've just seen what it can do this week. Internationally, that it was scaring the heck out of a lot of people about the fact that the U.S. might not pay its bills, as it were. And the IMF, International Monetary Fund, was warning about an economic, worldwide economic catastrophe if that happened. So let's talk about that. How does this kind of stuff affect international markets?
Well, you know, there's the first way it affects the markets is that treasuries forever and ever have been considered the safest investment in the world.
Right.
And because of that, treasuries are used in a lot of loan type agreements as collateral.
Okay.
Because everyone is very comfortable. It's the treasury. They'll always pay, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, there's $2.6 trillion in bilateral repo market where essentially in these kind of repo, tri-party repo type things, it's the building block for banks to basically their ability to fund money into the economy, all right? Because they'll take collateral on, they'll take the treasury collateral and it's universal in terms of their acceptance. Well, when you put that in play, that it may not be the safest. You know, this is kind of what happened in 2008 when Lehman Brothers went out of business and the whole financial market is that trust and confidence, which we talked about either, and the challenge of the value and sanctity of the payment of the treasuries is at the real root of the whole financing day-to-day business. And when you take that away and you freeze up the markets, well, we all unfortunately, and now after 08, didn't have to just listen to our grandparents' recollection of the Great Depression. We had kind of a real-life experience that everything froze. Obviously, we've been able not to have all the consequences, but the point is that's the number one thing, is that the underlying questioning treasuries of the value of collateral. The second thing is effect in that with the projection, if we do the same thing this year and have provide the same services from the government level as we had the last 12 months, we need to borrow $700 billion additional dollars.
Okay.
All right. It's projected that in the next 10 years, we're going to have to borrow an additional $5 trillion. And $14 trillion is the projection over 25 years. So the point is, those are huge numbers, all right? Extremely huge numbers. China and Japan are the top two buyers of our treasuries. And when they both come out and express concern because they have a huge position in them, you know, nothing could be more devastating to us than a combination of Japan and China cutting back on their investments and essentially having to, if they do that, and if the Federal Reserve, which ultimately they're going to stop buying all these treasuries,
right,
someone's got to step in. And so it's a basic 101 economics of supply and demand. And so if we have less demand by the Federal Reserve, Japan and China, we got to find someone to fill in. And what will tend to happen is interest rates will go higher.
Right.
So think about if interest rates in May, the Treasury of the 10-year variety was at 1.63 was the coupon. That was what you were going to get by August because of just the fear of the Fed stepping away. It went to 3%, so it almost doubled.
Right.
Well, let's just extrapolate that and go out. If we go 2%, if interest rates go up higher, 2% higher, which will still leave them at a relatively record low over history, at $17 trillion in debt right now.
Right.
That would mean $340 billion in additional interest expense. So we're fighting about things and trying to make things meet at this level.
Right.
So if the international market steps away and we need to fill, that means rates could even go higher. So you have those two issues. Obviously, you know, if I'm not confident and I lose confidence, because, you know, the unfortunate thing of this is just a breather.
Right.
You know, we're going through this in January
and February,
all right? And so, you know, the rapidity of this is weighs heavy because, you know, who wants to go through this all the time? I mean, my advice to everyone is when next time it goes on, you'd be better off just to turn the TV off and
Come
on yourself because you're not going to influence. But, you know, if I'm international, what does that mean? You know, that the currencies fluctuate, all right? And so am I doing business? Aren't I doing business? If I'm doing business with the U.S. government and they're shut down, you know, how much of that business do I want to continue to pursue? And so, you know, it affects currency. It affects confidence on the international level. It affects a lot of different things that as we have now more and more countries in the world who are doing things similar to us. And, you know, we don't have the corner on having, you know, the only place you can get technology or get product or things like that. You know, you have more options, and obviously, you know, China would like to do as much business as they want, and Japan has now got a big export policy going because they've decided to devalue their yen, and so, you know, you lose that business, it takes a long time to get it back, you know.
Yeah, and then, you know, the companies, corporations that do international business, they're losing business when they're out to another country, trying to sell product to another country or doing business with individuals in another country. They're going, well, sorry, we don't have a lot of confidence in the U.S. of A.
No, exactly. And it continues to decrease the more of these we have. And, you know, now it's... this will be in January.
Yeah.
You know, if you take the 11 event, you take fiscal cliff, excuse me, at the end of 2012, you have this one, you have another. We would have had four in a little less than two and a half years. You know, it doesn't increase your confidence. And, you know, quite frankly, when you, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. We haven't had elections, so the players are still the same.
Yeah. And of course, it gets down to the individual level, the individual investor and consumer. And like, let's talk about the effect all of this insanity has on individuals.
Well, I think that, again, what you have is it goes from the whole gamut. I mean, next time this is coming up, we saw the projection was because of the government shutdown, there was probably about $152 million that was lost in travel. All right,
okay.
With the national parks closed and Washington D.C. in the last month, occupancy rates were down 9% from a year, just as an example. All right, so you know, are you thinking with this coming up? Are you traveling anywhere? Are you putting the national parks in play? So you know, you have that little side thing, but. Again, am I buying a new car now? Am I looking at maybe committing to a mortgage? Well, I don't know really what's going on. So you, as an individual, you know, am I going to have a big Christmas purchase? Am I not going to have a big purchase Christmas? Do you know? And so, the timing and looking out in this short window would, my best guess will be that the individual will continue to be very conservative, probably not invest in the market, which, quite frankly, I think, despite the government, I think the market is going to continue to be a pretty good place to be because, one, it's the best of places. And interest rates are going to probably remain relatively low as the economy kind of wavers around here. The Federal Reserve probably is going to delay their purchases or delay the decision on weaning off buying $45 billion a month or whatever the number they want to be at. And so at a time where, you know, you're not sure, you know, individuals, because of their conservatism, is going to have opportunity losses in several particular places.
Okay. Yeah, and this also will affect things like jobs.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we just mentioned earlier about Lockheed and United Technology, but you know, we had 400,000 government employees that had 2-week vacation and things like that. Well, you know, that we knew about. But if I was a small business and small business got a potential large, you know, they get a pretty good percentage of government orders, for example, last month, $89.9 billion, which small companies received from the government, was a 5-year low. Well, if I'm a small company and all of a sudden I lose X percent, name it, 5, 10, 15% of my business, I can only make it work by cutting my costs, and you know, there's nothing more expensive than employees. So, you know, you have a lot of companies who are going to actually lay people off, but then you have the opportunity cost of, well, you know, I was thinking about hiring some more because things are going good, but
right. And you can even go as far as I was reading a little sidebar story as the cafe in Washington that used to have a big luncheon clientele, and during the shutdown saw a huge drop off in business.
Absolutely. And then just multiply that by, you know, all over. I mean, that was in the immediate, but, you know, there's federal workers in every state. And, you know, so that had some impact. Again, it's a tad early, but most economists has projected that minimally this costs between $12 billion and $24 billion in lost opportunities. The economy, they're ratcheting down the GDP estimate for this quarter from 2.5 down to 2. And, you know, a lot of people will say, well, you know, now we're back up and running. You know, that'll come back in and we'll see higher. Well, you know, with the circus going on again, you know, has to be decided by January and February. I'm not sure that's quite true. I mean, I do think that we could have a very flat or blah economy till we get some kind of long-term plan.
Okay. And I guess that's why the hope is that conference committee that will come up with some kind of an agreement on a long-term budget, and I guess they got a deadline of in December. I don't know how much confidence there is on reaching an agreement, but at least hopefully they'll continue talking.
Well, they're definitely going to. Here's what the listeners should definitely take to the bank. All
okay.
Right?
Good place to wrap up.
Yeah. They're not going to fail to increase the debt ceiling. It's just too irresponsible. The cataclysmic effects of that throughout the world, no one's going to, I just can't in any size, shape, or form see that happen. Now, they'll talk about it. They'll get up to the last minute and stuff like that. But, you know, that's going to, now, shutting down the government will be, but, you know, the reality is the Congress is up for election in 2014. All right. The polls basically say that, you know, no one likes these guys. And so, you know, I would think that we will get something, whether it's